We live by faith, something the world will not understand because it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural daily experience to live by faith and to have the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. The word I have here for us is from the chapters of Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4 and 5. Tonight, on a journey of faith, before I get into a time of ministering inner healing, ministering the healing of the brokenhearted and deliverance, I have a word, and the word is that by faith, we need to go to the other side. Sometimes great breakthroughs and big miracles happen after some action, a journey of faith, an overcoming of obstacles in order to get to the place of the miracle. Praise the Lord, somebody in the house of God. Hallelujah. This is a Pentecostal service. You're allowed to shout up and down and sing hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we go to the other side. In this chapter 4 and 5, where the Lord tells his disciples, he said, let us go to the other side. When, this is from verse 36, when they had sent, oh, here we go, 35, and the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. They had to pass the water to get to a small island where you could only get by boat. And there were also with him other little ships. But as soon as they were on their journey, it seemed as if all hell broke loose. It seemed as if hell knew what was going to happen on the other side. It seemed as if the powers of the water rose and caused a mighty storm, and all the disciples thought they were going to drown for sure. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was now full of water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They were afraid of their lives. They woke him up and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose. He rebuked the wind as if it was a spiritual wind. And this is a spiritual warfare, revival and deliverance service. And he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Whatever is or is not in the sea, or above the sea, or around the sea, or underneath the sea, if the Lord says, peace be still, everything obeys. The Bible teaches us that in my ministry of deliverance as part of world evangelism, this encourages me to overcome the more difficult situations of deliverance, because the word teaches us in the book of James that even the devils believe and tremble. And I've put it to the test many a times when I need to be challenged in deliverance by demons, And once you remind them of the very word with faith, that they're the one to be trembling and not me. And that they believe, they all admit that they believe. It's rather odd to say, but I probably interrogated in that way, spoke to 10,000, 100,000 of demons, but they do all admit that they believe. There is power in that name of Jesus Christ. Everything obeys, but it is by faith, and faith tries to be taken away from us as we are moving in that faith, as the disciples went with Jesus, and fear overcame them, and they thought they were going to drown. They didn't think they was going to go with the Lord to perform a great miracle, to rise up an evangelist. No, they became afraid because the devil caused hell to rise, and there must have been some storm that would not have been a little one. And back in those days, they would have little boats. And as soon as the whole ship is full of water, so we have to be encouraged by that to continue to press forth. And when any storm comes our way, we are reminded that Jesus told us that greater things than he we shall do, because we'll do it in him, hallelujah. Because he has given us an authority that comes straight from God himself, my God. And that if whatever we do or say, we don't say it in our own authority, because we know we are nothing. That's why we walk in humility and humbleness. But if we speak in the name of Jesus, oh my God, we speak on his behalf, and whatsoever we speak to shall obey. Whether it be disease, sickness, demons, principalities, or whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, there shall be breakthrough. We are called more than conquerors for a reason. Oh, hallelujah. It's good to be back in the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, a few more things I have to highlight from this short sermon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Immediately, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, arrives for the very first time in a little island called the Gadarenes. Only one man turns up at his feet. Immediately, as soon as he came out of the ship, it was a man with an unclean spirit. But it didn't mean that he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Many think that the demon, I've heard many versions of this account. The demons in that man did not want to meet Jesus. They knew who Jesus was, and they would be hiding from Jesus. This was the man who ran to Jesus. We'll get to that scripture in a minute. I'm doing a little miracle myself here because my reading glasses are unfindable in the car. So I'm reading by faith without reading glasses. And it's going okay so far. Praise the Lord. Now, this was not just any man. He had his dwelling among the tombs. Imagine that. A man who lives in the graveyard, rejected by society, all alone, unwanted, undesired. And it's worse than that. No man could tame him. No man could bind him. Not with chains. And that would have upset anybody else anyway. It's not the way to treat a human being, to chain him up. He's done nothing wrong. He's ill. But because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. But here was, I want to point this out. Because when the word speaks, it speaks to us as well. And it says that, and always, like all the time, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. The root word is crying with tears. It's a real crying. He was a very sad person. He was very hurt and broken. And here we go, and cutting himself with stones. And up until this day, it's called self-harm, up until this day, there are millions of people in the Western known alone, millions of teenagers and people that cut themselves with sharp objects, knives, burn themselves, hurt themselves. They hurt themselves because the pain on the inside is too much to bear. So in order to have temporarily relief, they hurt their body so bad that the mind focuses on the physical pain and forgets the emotional, mental pain. But it only lasts a little while, as if would, you know, liquor or anything else that is another form of self-harm or anything else, just to numb the pain, drug abuse. It's another form of self-harm. What is the root cause? And that's why it gets done repeatedly and repeatedly. And here again, by this man in the Bible, he was doing it night and day all the time. Imagine his history. Imagine his childhood. The Bible doesn't elaborate on all of that. But we can imagine that if he is crying every day, rejected and disturbed to the extent that he can only live in the tombs. He wasn't even dressed. He was, probably most people looked as if he was not in his right mind. But the funny thing is, he may have not been in the right mind, but I wonder what kind of mind all the other people had in the island. Because he was the only one who recognized the Savior had stepped on the island. He knew healing had arrived. Yes. He knew his deliverance had come. Praise God. And look, verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's like that scripture in Job when everything went wrong and Job fell on his face. And we all think the next bit of that verse is to curse God. But no, Job fell on his face to worship God. Sometimes you have to worship your way out of trouble. He ran to the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiped him. Praise the Lord. At that very instant moment, the evil spirits in him, they were confronted suddenly in the presence of the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a big shock. So they cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do? These are the demons speaking through him, the evil spirit speaking through him. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he, the Lord Jesus, said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Come out of the man. They negotiated. They didn't want to go into the pit, the abyss. They went into the swine. But a few verses later, this gentleman, sitting next to Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, healed, restored, delivered, all at the same time. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. And that brings me to Isaiah, because of two reasons. And I'm having a short sermon, and then I'm going to minister inner healing and deliverance to all of you. And once again, thanks for coming. Because Isaiah is the one who began to prophesy that the Lord would come to heal the brokenhearted. And apart from bringing the greatest and foremost miracle of salvation, he also came to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty the captives, the bruised, preaching deliverance. Isaiah prophesied that. And when the Lord one day was in the synagogue, he picked that scroll where Isaiah had written that, the 61st chapter. And it says, the Lord God hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach deliverance to the captives. But that same prophet Isaiah also prophesied, why? Also prophesied how the Lord would himself be rejected . Isaiah said, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marked, more than any man. And that means he was, this is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering such brutal torture, especially from the Roman whip, the cat of nine tails. And that was just the 39 lashes and that crucifixion. Another brutal punishment and a horrible death sentence. And that verse prophesied that he would be unrecognizably tortured. The death penalty that the Lord Jesus took for us was a very brutal penalty. It was a very brutal death. It wasn't a quick death. It was torture, torment, and a long, slow death on a cross, stretched out, suffocating because of our sins. He is despised and rejected of man, Isaiah said, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, though, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the first disease that he healed us from is sin. The disease of sin. A disease that lasts and that kills. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus took it all on the cross. Jesus took our death penalty on the cross. It was for us he did it. He cried in the garden, if there was another way. The Father said, no, there is no other way. He carried on. All for us. And as I read these words, I wonder if a lot of people hear, and they hear parts of the gospel. Sometimes you don't put it all together. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ did die. The reason he died was he took the death penalty, the punishment, punishable by death upon himself, so that we don't have to be judged with that penalty. He rose again as he said he would 3 days later. But I'm always very knowledgeable that there are people that haven't put it all together yet. And they're right. So all that suffering was for me. Yes. It's not necessarily that sin is the problem. Jesus took care of that. But it's rejecting the cross. Rejecting the fact that he took your judgment upon himself. That will lead to an everlasting separation from God. But if you embrace the cross instead and just say, thank you, Jesus, as you would if anybody paid your parking ticket, if anybody paid your speeding fine, or maybe you transgressed the law and you got in trouble with the law to the extent that the judge wants to put you in prison for a year. And suddenly somebody stands up right in front of you and said, don't worry, I already went to prison for you. You can go free. You would embrace that person, right? Why would we embrace our Savior, Jesus? Embracing his cross. Thank you, Lord. His arms stretched open wide as an invitation. Everything had already a prophetic meaning. An image that is portrayed all over the world, yet so few that embrace the greatest love offering, the greatest love sacrifice that the Creator God Father ever did. Some people say, well, what has God done for me? Everything, everything. He gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice. Slaughtered like a lamb to be the final Passover lamb. He bled and died for our sins. Tonight, if anybody is here and wants to embrace Jesus for the first time, if you haven't said, yes, Jesus, I thank you. I want your salvation, which is a free gift. If anybody here tonight wants to surrender all to Jesus as he surrendered all to you and have his Holy Spirit live in you so that you can live a life by faith, so that you can live a life supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit, then just raise your hand if you haven't done that. And then this might be an opportunity for you tonight in this wonderful house of God. If you haven't done it, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. You know, some of us are growing up in a different tradition or in a different denomination, and you haven't really understood it. But if you understand it now, because the Holy Spirit is here, you cannot live in sin. But if you say yes to Jesus, he will help you to turn away from sin. And he wants you to repent. And repent means to turn away from sin and to turn to Jesus. To be a Christian, which means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus.
Pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I have heard the gospel and I believe. I embrace the sacrifice you made for me on the cross. Forgive me for my sins. I repent and turn away from all that is sin, to turn to you, to follow you, and to live a life for you and in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to help me live a life pleasing unto you. Teach me all things. In Jesus' name I pray.
And know this, that all of heaven will rejoice because of what you just prayed. Hallelujah.